Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, the COVID-19 vaccine is now being called a mandatory software update for a human operating system. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. I have a clip from a local news channel. And not just one, there's dozens and dozens, there's hundreds of news reports on local stations all across America. And they have begun to, you know, everybody gets their news from the Sinclair Broadcasting Company. And I think we've all seen those videos with all the news anchors saying the exact same thing. And we know that the news is fake. Even Fox News, we know it's fake. But they're all calling it a software update for a human operating system. That's what you are. That's what you are to them anyway. Remember back in the early days of the gain-of-function pandemic when politicians like New York Mayor Bill de Blasio would go to Christian churches and try to reassure people that the then-coming COVID vaccine was not the mark of the beast? Remember when he did that? Well, now that the vaccine is here and billions of people have received it, they are now calling it a software update for a human operating system. Welcome to day 563. Of 15 days to flatten the curve. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we have reached the point where logic, reason, and science have been replaced by feelings, emotions, and censorship in the ongoing battle by the global governments of our planet to force all the world to receive an injection whether they want it or not, whether they need it or not. We are now at the stage where the case for booster shots every 6 months in perpetuity will be the only way that you'll be able to keep your immunity passport activated. They have begun to call this our software update to our human operating system, and it sounds to me like something straight out of a Tim LaHaye or Frank Passetti novel. Today we bring you the stunning COVID whistleblower updates straight from inside the CDC and the FDA. And we show you how all this is connected with, well, Emmanuel Macron in France, who at this moment, right now, is calling for France to leave the United Nations Security Council and start their own European army, over which he, Emmanuel Macron, will be the head. You think I'm making this up? No, I'm not. It's the news, and man, oh man, it's getting crazy out there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the thousands and thousands of people who tune into these podcasts every single week. And we're so grateful, Lord, stunned, actually, that you would bring in so many, Father God, so many people. And, Lord, we come before you in song and praise and prayer. We pray for Sarah's salvation. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price's salvation. Pastor Pho John in Vietnam. You remember that we sent him cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. 1,200 gospel tracts. And it cost us about $23.95 to get it over to him in Vietnam. And guess what? Those boxes have arrived, and they are sitting in Vietnam right now. But Pastor Pho Jong says, good morning, everybody. I have something I would like to praise the Lord. The boxes from NTEB have arrived in Hanoi, in the capital of Vietnam, in the last 24 hours, but they are in the storage facility of FedEx. I am processing a paper that will allow us to take the gifts home. Please pray that this will be done smoothly. So we need to pray that Pastor Fojong will be able to receive the boxes. They're in Hanoi right now. How exciting is that? He goes on to say, I would like to thank and praise the Lord that tonight, 9:20 p.m. Vietnam time, four people got saved last night. And he said, please pray for these four people, Fuang, Ms. Luang, Ms. An, and Mr. Nak. So we're going to pray for Fuang, Ms. Luang, Ms. An, and Mr. Nak. Thank you and God bless for the podcast today. We're still praying for Deborah Campbell-Shular, invasive eye surgery on the 28th. We're still remembering our pastors in the Philippines, Pastor Danny and Pastor Johnry, as well as Pastor Fojong. Steve Markovich, one of our Facebook group moderators, still in the hospital. Please remember him in your prayers. We're going to lift him up today. Shayla Clark, husband Glenn for salvation. Clayton Perry, healing from cancer. Ron Wooten, him and his family are still recovering from COVID, but they're getting better every day. Jesse Spurlock, that's a man who used to sit behind me in church. And he has terminal cancer and a brain bleed. And we just pray for the Lord to have mercy and compassion there. Amanda Lutz, she's the wife of one of my early street preachers, Steve Lutz. She's battling COVID, and they have two children in the house. Please pray that Amanda would get a full healing. Chris Tassin, please pray for me and my team. We're going into hostile territory. Cindy in Iowa says, please pray for the situation concerning our daughter, Brooke, waiting for God to lead concerning her living situation and her behaviors. And Cindy wants us to pray for Brooke that God would rule and overrule. We're praying for Judy in the hospital with COVID. She's on a ventilator. We're praying for Ann Reed, also being moved from a hospital to a care facility with COVID. Pray for Judy and Ann. Antonetta said, I'd like to ask for prayers for my friend Natalie to not give in taking the vaccine. I've shared things with her for months. Guest Jay from Wisconsin says, please pray for my husband Bob. Had to take him to the ER with chest pain. He had a massive heart attack 10 years ago. His pain was the same yesterday. So Jay from Wisconsin needs prayer for husband Bob. LS Poet says, praise. Addie is doing much better. Thank you for praying. She may go home tomorrow. Diagnosed with pediatric thrombocytopenia. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't sound good. But she's doing better, so amen. Carol Jane says, prayer please for my cousin George has COVID and a transplant PT. Shea Caster, prayers for my sister Patty, so her mind comes back to her. And Shea Caster's been sharing that his sister Patty has been suffering from dementia. She's 74 years old. We pray that God would rule and overrule in that situation. Mike Hensel, pray for my leg that I broke in February. It's developing arthritis. When I stand up, it looks like it wants to buckle. Also keep Mike in your prayers. He said he's been called to preach. Rachel says, please continue to keep my family and I in prayer. God clearly moved in a big way a few days ago, including a pause on the termination for my job over the vaccine. Still not clear, but waiting in state decision on religious mandates. My dad just started treatment on cancer and his lab values got a bit messed up after the first dose. And she says that she's struggling to overcome depression and hopelessness. The born-again Christian is never hopeless. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Charlton said, just got stung by a bee. Please pray. Had a bad reaction a couple of years ago that put me in the hospital. Shannon Kay says, prayers for the souls that we have witnessed to, that they make a decision to follow Jesus. Jeanette says, prayer for Patty D. Her husband's funeral is tomorrow. And Patty D's been going through a rough time. Rachel says, almost forgot to mention my dad. He feels an urge to pray for my job situation. He's not a believer. I hope that this is a sign he will come to accept Jesus. Amen. Annette says, please pray for my father, PAG 85, in the hospital with COVID on oxygen. KJV Truth Teller, please pray for all of the so-called Christians that are not truly born again and going to hell. That would absolutely be something to pray for. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you, Lord, as your body, as your church, Jew and Gentile. And we ask you to work and move in a mighty way with all these prayer requests. We ask you to rule and overrule in all these situations. Budgie says, please pray for Victoria, who will be 103 years old this month. Amen. Father God, we lift up these prayer requests and praise with thanksgiving, and we ask you to work and move as only you can. And we commit this time to you, Lord. We ask for healing where it's needed. We ask for finances, restoration. We ask for healing on all different levels of all different kinds. Phineas C. says, prayers for me. I got positive for COVID-19 for the first time. Now on an isolation center with mild symptoms. Lord, heal, work, and move, and restore. And we ask you, Lord, to extend your blessing and provision and protection to this ministry, to Harmon, Jeanette, Lorianne, myself, and everybody who is involved in Now the End Begins. Please continue to bless us and prosper us and expand our borders and keep us safe while we do it. And Lord, we ask all these things and commit this time to you and ask you to work and move and lead and guide as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here today. We have a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on. Things are settling in now. Everybody has gotten used to the idea that vaccinations are not good. They're not going away. And in every state across America and in every country around the world, doesn't matter where you travel to, go to Asia, Europe, the Middle East, North and South America, Africa, and you'll see the vaccine merchants working overtime. One reason why that they're so anxious to be working overtime is that they're making an incredible amount of money. You know what Dr. Ruckman always used to say? He used to say, if something doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it. If something doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it. Basically an updated version on follow the money. And Bill Gates is thrilled. Bill Gates has invested in vaccines to the tune of $20 billion. Did you know that Bill Gates is the single number one private contributor of money to the World Health Organization? And he has given over $4.1 billion to the WHO. And that's why they let him go to all these foreign countries and set up shop and begin to vaccinate the poor natives of Africa and India and Asia and inject them with all his chemicals and all his treatments. And then he spends hundreds of millions of dollars through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to make sure that the newspapers keep saying nice things about him. Listen to Bill Gates, 2019, bragging about a 20-to-1 return on his investment with vaccines.
We're here today with Bill Gates, a lot to talk about what he's been working on. And Mr. Gates, thank you so much for being with us. I'd like to talk to you about your approach to vaccinations. You wrote something recently, and like you always do, you kind of looked at the problem from a scientific and business perspective on things. You've invested $10 billion in vaccinations over the last two decades, and you figured out the return on investment for that. And it kind of stunned me. Can you walk us through the math?
Well, it's pretty impressive that when you take these vaccines, get them to be very inexpensive by making big volume commitments, have that right relationship with the private sector, get the delivery system so they're really getting the coverage out there, you literally save millions of lives. And 20 years ago when we created these new multilateral organizations, Gavi for the vaccines, Global Fund for HIV, TB and malaria, we didn't know they'd be successful. They've gone through lots of challenges about making sure the money gets there, making sure the efficiency is right. But as we look at upcoming replenishments for those, and we've got so much distraction politically that the international needs like this could get eclipsed if we're not careful, you know, we see a phenomenal track record. It's been $100 billion overall that the world's put in. Our foundation is a bit more than $10 billion, but we feel there's been over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just look at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else.
So there you have Bill Gates saying that he himself has put in $20 billion into vaccinations over the years, and he has made a 20-to-1 return on his investment. And you heard in that clip, he was at Davos in 2019 when he said that statement about the 20-to-1 return on his investment. So before COVID hit, he made a 20-to-1 return on his $20 billion investment. How much is $20 billion times 20? $200 billion that Bill Gates has made personally with vaccines. That's about five times the amount of money that he ever made with Microsoft. And Microsoft made him the richest man on the face of the earth for quite some time. And that money that made him the richest man on the face of the earth, that is chump change. Absolute chump change compared to what he's making now. And you heard in that clip that all of his vaccination schemes have been successful, and all the different groups that he started have been unbelievably successful. Well, one of those groups that he started back in 2010, the Global Vaccine Action Plan, you want to take a guess who he put on the board of directors in a leadership position? You want to take a guess who Bill Gates in 2010 made one of the leaders of those groups that he's talking about? Well, if you guessed Anthony Fauci, you guessed absolutely correct. 11 years ago, Bill Gates put Anthony Fauci on the leadership board of his Global Vaccine Action Plan. That became Gavi. Gavi is absolutely intricately tied in with the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and an incredible amount of money is flowing into Bill Gates' bank account each and every single day. So remember that before COVID hit, before the COVID vaccines that have made these pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and Moderna unbelievably wealthy, Pfizer said last week that they estimate that this year, before this year is done, they'll have made $33 billion from selling the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. They're never going to let this stuff go. They have far too much control over people, and they are making far too much money. This is never going to go away. Listener Penny sent me this clip the other day. She was watching TV and she managed to grab this on her smartphone. It was a news broadcast where she lives locally. And I want you to listen to what her local news was saying just yesterday. Well, not yesterday. It's like 3 days ago. But this is something that local news programs all across America are conditioning you and grooming you to think and believe. Take a listen to this.
...19 front. One local research institute is running several trials focusing on COVID booster shots. Some will concentrate on a booster specifically for mutations like the Delta variant. News 9's Ashley Holden sat down with the Lynn Institute to learn more.
More variants and more mutations that we see in the coronavirus, the least effective the vaccines are going to be.
The CEO and president of the Lynn Institute, Carlos Blanco, says that's why variant boosters could prove to be very important.
You described this as a little bit of like a software update for humans.
We need to be able to tell our bodies, hey, there's been an update in the virus. Here's what you're looking for now. You're looking for the Delta variant.
So how do you go about making a variant booster? What is different about it?
It's not difficult because you're just updating the mRNA that's contained within the vaccine.
Right now at the Lynn Institute, they are running trials for Moderna booster shots. They still have room, but you have to be 6 months out from your second dose of Moderna's two-shot COVID vaccine. But they aren't the only company testing boosters targeting the new variants.
Pfizer is completing their variant booster trials, and they anticipate having some results probably within the next 30 to 45 days or so. And Moderna is well underway. We can anticipate that hopefully the boosters will be here by the middle of winter.
He says that there's still a large group of people that are unvaccinated. Down the line, we could be getting more variant booster shots. But for now, the shots being studied could protect us from variants that are right around the corner.
This update, this variant booster, will protect us for several variants down the road.
If you're interested in participating in the Institute's trials happening in Norman and OKC, we have information on how to sign up on the News 9 app. In Oklahoma City, Ashley Holden.
So there you have newscaster Ashley in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And she's thrilled to be telling you about the new software update. Well, not for your iPhone, not for your Android, not for your Mac, not for your Windows PC. No, no, no. The new software update for your human iOS is the vaccine booster shot. And that's exactly what they're calling it. A software update. You remember that we told you back in March of this year, the people over at Moderna, another Bill Gates-funded company, Bill Gates has given tens of millions of dollars to Moderna. And Moderna said this back in March of 2021. If you can hack the rules of mRNA, essentially the entire kingdom of life is available for you to play with. That's what the CEO of Moderna said last year. It's a huge idea, says Michael Hertline, who heads the mRNA research at a competing biotech called RANA Therapeutics just a few blocks away. Any protein target where you can think of a potential therapeutic, you can approach that with mRNA. And they are so excited about hacking the kingdom of life. Well, you know, if you've ever read your King James Bible, somewhere around Revelation chapter 13, you know somebody else that is very concerned about hacking into the kingdom of life. I want you to think about this. Revelation 13, 16 and 17. Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. How did the Apostle John know that one day medical science would invent the syringe with a needle and a glass tube and a little push thing? How did the Apostle John, living in the first century, understand that humanity would get to the point where we would have the ability to inject things into our bodies in a scientific manner, in a medical manner? That technology did not exist 2,000 years ago. That technology didn't exist 1,000 years ago. Vaccines didn't exist more than 150 years ago. What we're talking about today is very, very new technology. And that's why if your Bible doesn't say in Revelation 13, 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. If your Bible doesn't say in, if Revelation 13, 16 says on instead of in, I want you to get up right now and take whatever Bible that is, and I want you to throw it in the trash where it belongs. NIV, ASV, RSV, The Message, Good News for Modern Man. Whatever it is that you have that says on their right hand instead of in their right hand, I want you to get up right now, go to the garbage, well, actually recycle it, it's a better use of the paper, and then go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the button for free, and we'll send you a King James replacement Bible completely for free. All you got to do is go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the free button. And we will replace your Bible completely for free. That's how strongly we feel about Bible versions. And the reason why, if your Bible says on the right hand instead of in the right hand, that's a book that is breaking the prophetic reference to the fact that in the end times, what is the mark of the beast going to be? It's going to be, and I want you to listen to me now. If you have a little sticky note and a pencil, I want you to write this down. What is the mark of the beast but the ultimate injection from the government? Do you realize that where your King James Bible says to receive a mark in their right hand, the only way you can get that mark in your right hand is it has to be injected into your right hand with a needle, with a syringe, with an injection tool of some kind. And we are so close to the end of everything. We are so close to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church that right now, Every government in the world is preparing their people and telling their people that you cannot be safe without an injection from the government. I want you to understand that. I want you to grasp what's actually happening. They are grooming you to believe that your life is in grave danger and that you cannot be safe without an injection from the government. Well, what is the mark of the beast but the ultimate injection from the government? That's going to inject whatever that mark is going to be. It's going to inject it in the back of your right hand. Why do you think every government in the world is now telling you, right now telling you, that you cannot be safe without an injection? And who supplies the injection? The government. What does the Antichrist create? He creates a government. He is a spiritual leader, Revelation 17. He is a political leader, Revelation 18. Revelation 13. And when Antichrist comes on the scene after the rapture, he is simply going to continue what has already gone on before he arrived, and that is telling everybody on earth that you live in dangerous times and you cannot be safe without receiving an injection from the government. Do you see where all this is going? Do you see how diabolically beautiful, if I could use those two words together, how diabolically beautiful this whole thing is? Billions of people are getting the vaccine from their government because they've been told they cannot be safe without it. They have been told that natural immunity doesn't count. They have been told that their immune systems are not good enough. They have been told repeatedly that the only way that you can be safe is by receiving an injection from the government. And as we heard this morning, those injections are never going to go away. Write it down that and this is not the first time that I've said it, but I'll say it again. It's September 24th, 12:34 p.m. in the afternoon. These injections are never going away. It doesn't matter what happens with COVID. These injections, these booster shots, they will never stop. Because Antichrist is right around the corner, and he has a shot that he wants you to take as well. Now, Revelation 13, 16, and 17 says that you cannot engage in commerce, you cannot engage in buying and selling. And on our Friday podcast, we talked about you sell your time when you go to your job. You work 35, 40 hours, 50, 60 hours a week. I work about 75 hours a week. And what do? With those hours? You sell those hours to your employer. That's the selling part of buying and selling. The buying part is everything that you need. Buying part is going to the grocery store, going to the pharmacy, going to a concert, going to play bowling, going to a football, baseball, basketball game, going to a fitness center, going to a dance studio. Those are all things that cost money that you have to buy. Well, in New York City, they've already passed the key to NYC. No buying and selling for you if you don't have a vaccine passport. Do you see why we say that there is stunning similarities between the vaccine right now And what the mark of the beast when Antichrist comes is going to accomplish. Now, the vaccine, as it stands today, is not the mark of the beast. If you have a job that forces you to get vaccinated, and you just say, well, I got to pay my bills, and I'm a Christian, and I trust God, but I can't lose my job, and you take the vaccine, you have not taken the mark of the beast. And don't listen to the people who try and tell you that. But at the same time, this is where you kind of have to hold two thoughts in your head. At the same time, the current vaccine is leading directly on a path that will take the people who are here after the rapture to the mark of the beast. So you just have to understand that if you do take the vaccine, it's not the mark of the beast today, but it's leading to the mark of the beast tomorrow. Now, as I've told everybody, I can't tell you what to do. If you want to take it, take it. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. I believe in the personal freedom of the individual. I believe that human beings have free will. And I support you exercising that free will however you feel that God is leading you to do that. If God leads you to put a mask on, well, amen. If God leads you to not wear a mask, amen to that too. And I look at the vaccine exactly the same way. But as for me, I'm not taking it. Anthony Fauci killed my brother back in 1988 with his medicine. He's not going to kill me. So I will not be taking the vaccine under any circumstances for any reason at any time. Just like I have never taken a flu vaccine. And in the 6 months before COVID started, the flu killed 52,000 people here in America. The flu is very dangerous, but you'll never catch me taking a flu vaccine, ever. Remember back on December 6th of 2020, Bill de Blasio went to a church up in the Bronx. And this is what I wrote back then. I wrote this. Can things get any crazier? Yep, they sure can. How about this that took place this Sunday morning at the New Life Outreach International Church in the Bronx? New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, himself a black liberation theology advocate, stood in the pulpit of New Life Church and urged New Yorkers to receive the coming COVID-19 vaccine. The pastor of the church, Democratic City Councilman Fernando Cabrera, told his flock, quote, not to worry that the vaccine was connected to 666 or the mark of the beast. That actually happened. And I wrote about that on December 6th of 2020. The vaccine was not even out yet. And the same man who last month rolled out the key to NYC, Bill de Blasio, New York City mayor, you can't buy or sell in New York City without your vaccination passport. The same man on December 6th of 2020 stood in the pulpit of a Christian church where him and the pastor told people that the vaccine's coming, but don't worry, it's not the mark of the beast. So, when I talk about the mark of the beast being connected to the vaccine, it's because it is. And these Democrats, these liberals, lost people like Bill de Blasio and what that pastor of that Christian church. I hope he's saved. I don't know. I don't know of any Christian pastor that would let a New York City mayor who believes in black liberation theology step in their pulpit. Shame on you. But isn't it funny how these two men, before I even talked about it, well, actually, I was talking about it in April, so I kind of beat them by about 6 months. I take that back. But before the vaccine was even released, they're doing damage control already, saying, don't worry, this vaccine, when it gets here, it's not going to be the mark of the beast. Kind of funny how lost people can tell you the truth sometimes. Well, about 6 months before Bill de Blasio and that pastor tried to assure their people that the coming vaccine was not the mark of the beast, I wrote an article on April 7th of 2020. Warning, I can no longer say that Bill Gates' planned global vaccinations and the ID 2020 digital identification are not the mark of the beast. And if you go back and read that article, I said then what I say now. The current vaccine, when I wrote this article, the vaccine hadn't even arrived. But I said that the vaccine, when you get to the end of the vaccine, you're going to be at the mark of the beast. Just like when you get to the end of the Abraham Accords, you are at the Daniel 9:27 covenant. The Abraham Accords is not the covenant with Antichrist, but the last stop on that train stops at Daniel 9:27, and that's a fact. So you have to understand where these things are leading and where these things are taking you. Bill Gates created a company called ID 2020. And back in March, we told you that they launched something called the ID 2020 Certification Mark Digital Identity Solution. I wonder why they would use that term, certification mark. Because you can't get around a King James Bible, that's why. Because what that Bible says is going to come to pass, is going to come to pass. And there's nothing that you can do about it. King James Bible calls it the mark of the beast. That's exactly what I call it. Doesn't matter what form it ultimately takes. That may change. It likely won't be an RFID microchip. Technology is getting much more sophisticated than RFID microchips, but it might be. It could be a nanotechnology. The mark of the beast could be liquid. And that's what they've been working on with this mRNA technology. mRNA technology is able to accomplish many of the functions of what you would need a piece of hardware to do, like a transistor or a microchip. Something capable of sending and receiving information. When you combine mRNA technology with nanotechnology, it is highly possible that you could create a liquid mark of the beast that goes inside your bloodstream. So don't get overly attached to the image of what the mark of the beast is going to look like. Because it's very possible it could be liquid by the time that it reaches its full potential. That's the direction that they're absolutely going in. There's no question about that. And when you do even a little bit of study about mRNA technology and nanotechnology, and then you see that they can put those two things together, well, now you don't need transistors. Now you don't even need a power source. Because you're the power source. Because you have become the power source. Kind of funny how all that works out, isn't it? But that's what we've been telling you at Now the End Begins for years now. We've been telling you that all this technology, it's merging together. Transhumanism. Why do you think that the human body, 98.6, perfect temperature, perfect temperature? Well, if you've ever seen that movie, The Matrix, there's that scene where Neo wakes up and he realizes what he's actually become. He realizes that he is nothing but a battery. And remember that great scene where he's sitting in the pod and he looks around and he sees billions and billions and billions of other pods? And he realizes that he is in a pod and that he is a battery. You kind of come to that same conclusion when you spend a lot of time in your King James Bible and you spend time reading Bible prophecy. You begin to realize what this world system actually is.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
So there you have that great scene from the 1999 movie The Matrix. Now, isn't it funny how two people, two brothers who both came out as transsexuals since that movie came out, two people who are the opposite of a Bible-believing Christian, and yet God can take a movie like The Matrix, made by lost, hell-bound people who reject God, who reject the Bible, who reject biblical truth, and God can put His prophetic word all through that movie. I can remember the first time I ever watched The Matrix, a cold chill went down my back and I literally started sweating, because even though I had only been studying the Bible for about 8 years when that movie came out, I knew enough of the Bible to know that these were all things related to Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast and the world system that we live in. And then when you study the Bible and you study that we were created in Adam's image, Genesis 5:3. Have you ever looked at Genesis 5:3? Genesis 5:3 tells you you were not created in the image of God. Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And you and I were created after the image and likeness of Adam after Adam and Eve fell and were cursed by God. That's why Jesus says in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus was directly referencing Genesis 5:3. And when you watch the movie The Matrix, if you know anything about Bible prophecy, God made it possible to have Bible prophecy all through that movie. Now, the second one and the third one, now they're getting ready to come out with the fourth one. They got more and more fantastical and became much more like a cartoon. But that first movie, The Matrix, if you've never seen it, I highly recommend. Highly recommend. Rapture 57 is asking, what do I mean by two brothers coming out as transsexuals? The two people that made the Matrix series, the Wachowski brothers, they made that first Matrix in 1999. So that's 22 years ago. And, since then, they now identify as transsexuals. They walk around as women, and they dress like women, they look like women, and they act like women. So the people that made the series The Matrix are absolutely not Christians in any way, shape, or form. But can you get Bible truth from that first movie? You absolutely can. I don't like to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I'll watch a movie by a lost person. Because a lot of the times, hey, you read your Bible, you can see that God spoke Bible truth through the mouth of a jackass, an actual donkey. Jesus said, if these shall hold these peace, even the rocks should cry out. Bible says that the trees shall clap their hands. There's a whole lot more to this world than you think there is. And that's exactly what The Matrix is talking about. Talking about when you have your eyes opened and you take that red pill. And in our case, that red pill is the King James 1611 Holy Bible. And you get saved. In Ephesians chapter 1, 12 through 14, we talked about this on Sunday night. How does anybody get saved? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And on our Sunday night Bible study, we talked about, you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you get saved, and then the Holy Spirit seals you unto the day of redemption. That is the red pill if you want to go to heaven. The King James Bible is the red pill if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the truth about this world system that we live in. All right, a couple of days ago, James O'Keefe over at Project Veritas, he ruffled a whole lot of feathers. Don't be surprised if that guy shows up dead one day. James O'Keefe at Project Veritas, man, has he been making a lot of people angry. Well, he had a Health and Human Service whistleblower bring back video of what they're really saying on the inside about the COVID vaccine. Take a listen to part one from Project Veritas. Federal government HHS whistleblower goes public with secret recordings that the vaccine is, well, we have to bleep the rest of that out. Take a listen.
It hasn't probably been done because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
Tell us about who this person is.
Dr. Gonzalez is one of our emergency room doctors at Phoenix Indian Medical Center.
And she's a federal employee?
Correct.
Now you got this guy in room 4 who got his second dose of vaccine on Tuesday, had been short of breath.
He got myocarditis.
Yes!
All this is bullshit.
Probably
myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
They are not reporting.
Right.
Because they want to shove it under the...
Yeah.
Under the mat.
What patient was she referring to?
She was referring to that patient, that 30-something-year-old patient that had congestive heart failure.
And in that particular patient's case, it was not reported.
No.
The problem in here, they are not doing the study. People that had it, you know,
right.
And the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
It's super fishy.
It's not that it hasn't been done. It hasn't been published.
That's it all. Hasn't probably been done because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
The government doesn't want to show that the vaccine is full of shit.
It's not doing what its purpose was.
May I see your badges? You're Jody O'Malley with the Department of Health and Human Services. This is the United States Government Identification. I'm looking at the CDC website. It says that you're required to report adverse events following vaccinations. One of those would be congestive heart failure.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
Were there other instances that they didn't report?
Oh, I've seen dozens of people come in with an adverse reaction.
Yeah, it's really sad. She had just come back from surgery from leave.
So what are we looking at here?
You're looking at me transferring her to a higher level of care that could handle her condition.
And this is a colleague at your hospital who got sick.
She didn't want to take it because of her religious beliefs. And she was coerced into taking it.
Why are you choosing to blow the whistle? It's not what a lot of people would do. They're scared, they're afraid. Are you afraid?
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm afraid because my faith lies in God and not man. This is evil at the highest level. You have the FDA, you have the CDC, that are both supposed to be protecting us.
Are you afraid they're going to retaliate against you?
Yeah. I'm a federal employee. What other federal employees do you see coming up?
But you put your faith in God.
Amen.
So there you have this woman who, she works for the federal government. She works for Health and Human Services. And she made a video recording of what actually goes on behind the scenes. What nurses and doctors are actually saying to each other. And you heard her say that this is evil of epidemic proportions. Because they're lying to you. Because their only goal is to get that needle in your arm. That's their only goal, is to inject you with this vaccine. And once you take the first one, there is no stopping it. There is no ending it. And right now, they are working out, they're hammering out the details of every 6 months you're going to see required mandatory booster shots. And just a quick word about religious exemptions. I think that's great if you can get one. But they're going to get rid of religious exemptions before too long. So if you're putting all your eggs in that one basket, that you've got to do anything that you can to get a religious exemption, and then when you get that, you're going to be safe. Well, you need to have a backup plan for your backup plan, because they're going to get rid of the religious exemption. All they want you to do is take the vaccine. This is why when we reported to you 2 weeks ago about Joe Rogan, and we told you that he was able to completely recover from COVID in 72 hours using monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, vitamins, antibiotics. And not one single person in the mainstream media, not one single person in the FDA or the CDC said, wow, Joe COVID beat COVID in 72 hours. Why don't we go ask him? Why don't we have Joe Rogan come before Congress to give his testimony of the amazing things that he figured out to do that enabled him to completely recover from COVID in 72 hours. Instead, he was mocked and criticized and belittled and lied about. Annette is asking, do I think that the religious exemptions will be allowed so that they can identify the persons who associate with the body of Christ? Absolutely. And I think you need to sign up for a free subscription to Now the End Begins. Everybody should sign up for that. And the reason why I say that is because I wrote about that just the other day. Made a lot of people mad, but that's okay. I don't mind making people mad if it wakes you up, if it makes you think. I'm just looking for that article now when I wrote about, let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. I wrote about that on September 17th. The headline says, they will use the COVID-19 vaccine religious exemption to make it easier to identify the body of Christ when it comes time to take you to the camps. And I forget who, but somebody sent me a link to a video 2 days ago saying that Tucker Carlson is now talking about the religious exemption being used to identify and round up Christians. Absolutely. There's no question about it. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you can get a religious exemption, that's great. That will buy you time. But that will not solve your problem, because they're going to get rid of the religious exemption. Let's listen to a little more of Project Veritas Whistleblower.
The government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
Can you see a registry of the people who aren't vaccinated? That's something very Germany. I'm going to go to a door instead of one. How much is your picture, son?
Don't get
the vaccine.
She didn't want to take it because of her religious beliefs. She was coerced into taking it.
They are not reporting because they want to show it on the map.
Why are you choosing to blow the whistle? Are you afraid?
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm afraid. My faith lies in God and not man. My name is Jody O'Malley, and I'm a master's prepared registered nurse.
Well, first of all, your hospital is run by HHS, correct?
I work for Health and Human Services with the Indian Health Services branch for the Native Americans.
These are federal employees.
Yes.
And we work for the government. So, I mean, the main thing is we have to follow.
I know. I mean, that's another thing. I don't know how much longer I'll be here.
Here.
I know.
Are the policies and administrators coming directly from the federal government?
Yes.
The problem in here, they are not doing the studies. People that had it, you
right.
know, and the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
Now you got this guy in room four who got his second dose of vaccine on Tuesday, had been short of breath. Okay, now his BNP is elevated, D-dimer elevated, ALT, all his liver enzymes are elevated, his PT, PTINR is elevated.
He's got myocarditis.
Yes!
All this is bullshit.
Probably myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
Oh,
it happened. Right. What is it? 60 days after, if you see anything?
They have got to.
But how many people are reporting?
They are not reporting.
Right.
Because they want to show it under the under the mat.
In this instance with Dr. Gonzalez, what patient was she referring to, or without saying?
She was referring to that patient that had congestive heart failure.
Congestive heart failure. And in that particular patient's case, it was not reported.
No.
I'm going to have to transfer you.
So here we see what's actually going on in hospitals all across the country. When they get the results that they don't like, that they don't want, they don't report them. And then when people do report them to places like the VAERS website, Vaccination Adverse Events Reaction Site, the CDC just simply disowns their own website. If you ever ask Anthony Fauci about what people are posting to the VAERS website, the very first words out of Anthony Fauci's mouth will be, "Well, that evidence is not verified, that's anecdotal, and we don't go by that." And yet, that's a website that they themselves set up so that the average person could have a voice and that they could report what happened to them, what happened to their loved ones. And the CDC has gotten so many reports about adverse reactions and deaths with the COVID-19 vaccine that the CDC now disowns their own VAERS website. They say you can't trust it, it's not reliable. VAERS website has reported that so far over 13,000 people have died and over 624,000 people have had very, very strong adverse reactions and hospitalizations. Anthony Fauci says you can't believe that information. You can't believe the people who are reporting about their own experience with the vaccine. Isn't that incredible? But that's what's happening. That's where we are.
Another hospital.
Right.
We don't have cardiologists here.
and what you're developing is like a congestive heart failure. Okay? And that's not good. I don't know where this is coming from. On July 29th, you had the first COVID vaccine. And August 19th, you had the second. You know, you don't have COVID. Okay? But you have got a lot of symptoms, you know. And you're developing congestive heart failure.
Were there other instances that they didn't report?
Oh, I've seen dozens of people come in with an adverse reaction.
Was one of the ones you saw a 15-year-old with blood clots?
Yes. Yeah, so I was just covering a nurse. He's in here with bilateral PEs, but he's fine. And I'm like, okay. So he wasn't on oxygen or anything like that. And I said, was he vaccinated? And then she's like, I don't know. So then I looked in the chart, and he was. He had the Pfizer vaccine at the end of July, and he was due for a second dose. So this is essentially 2 to 3 weeks later. Most likely cause of hypoxia, unusual PE at this age. Unclear etiology. They don't know why he got it.
So how do we know that the blood clots, or how do you know that the blood clots are a result of the COVID vaccine?
Because this is a 15-year-old, normal weight, healthy child. No reason for him to have a blood clot.
It's a shame they're not treating people. I know. Like they're supposed to, like they should. And I think they want people to die.
And how many have you seen that have gotten vaccinated here?
Side effects?
A lot.
A lot?
Have you seen it too? Yeah.
Who's writing the bears report?
Nobody, because it takes over a half an hour to write the damn
thing. Right.
The CDC website, it says that you're required to report adverse events following vaccinations. Is there a policy at the hospital for reporting these complications?
No. There has never been any directive sent out on reporting. With this vaccine, we are in stage 3 clinical trials. Normally, stage 3 clinical trials is where you gather your data. What the responsibility on everyone is to gather that data and report it. And if we're not gathering that data and reporting it, then how are we going to say that this is safe and approved for use?
How come after 18 months we haven't had any research? Isn't that fishy to you?
It's super fishy. Not that it hasn't been done. It hasn't been published.
It has been probably being done because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
What does she mean by full of shit?
It's not doing what its purpose was.
And what is Dr. McGee saying in that video?
He's trying to defend the vaccine.
Why would he do that?
Because that's his view on it.
Okay.
His view is get the vaccine, it's science, right? If we all just get it, this will all be over with.
Such a bunch of bullshit.
What we're gonna have to do is we're on the inside.
So there you have HHS, Health and Human Services whistleblower, telling you what's going on behind the scenes. They are intentionally skewing the results because they know that the results would make their case look bad. If somebody has a heart attack who has COVID and they die, that's a COVID death. If somebody has cancer and they also have COVID and the cancer kills them, that's a COVID death. These people have been lying to you the entire time. This is not new. Dr. Birx looked into the camera 20 months ago and lied right to your face.
Misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized?
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus called you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
So you heard that from the mouth of Dr. Birx herself, and it's been official government policy for 20 months now that if somebody dies of anything, but they also have COVID, they don't die from COVID, they have COVID, and they die from something else. It is the official policy of the United States government under Trump and under Biden to report that death as a COVID-19 death. Now, if you factor out everybody who died not from COVID, but died with COVID, and you factor that out of the COVID deaths, not just in America, but around the world, because you heard Dr. Birx say that that was an idea that she got from Europe. They were doing that in Europe before they started doing that here in America. And if you factor out the people who die with COVID, take that out of the pile and only have people who die from COVID or because of COVID, I wonder how much smaller those numbers would be. They would be many, 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 many times smaller. Here in St. Johns County in Florida, over the last 20 months, we have had 38,155 cases of COVID in the county where I live. St. Augustine, Florida is part of St. Johns County. We have about 250,000 people who live here. And we've had 38,155 cases of COVID. Of those 38,155 cases, we have had 409 people die from COVID. And I personally knew two of those people. I'm sorry, three of those people. Not two, three of those people. But what percentage of 38,155 is 409? Well, 10% would be 3,815. 1% would be 381. So approximately 1.6% of everybody in St. Johns County who's had COVID died from it. That means that the recovery rate and the survival rate just in the county where I live is 99.4%. 99.4%. That means if you're diagnosed with COVID in the county where I live, in Florida, one of the places that the Democrats are always telling you is a hot zone, they don't tell you that we have a 99.4% recovery rate. They don't ever tell you that. I have never seen that in the headline or an article of any mainstream media outlet anywhere in the country. I have seen hundreds of headlines telling you how dangerous and how unsafe the state of Florida is. I have seen hundreds of articles bashing our amazing governor, Ron DeSantis. And I hope he does not run for president because we need him here in Florida. But I have seen no articles telling you that St. Johns County in Florida has a 99.4% recovery rate of anybody who gets sick with COVID. Don't you think that that would be encouraging news to people? Don't you think that that would be a really nice balance to all the fear and the hysteria and the endless articles? They show you the picture of that guy on the ventilator and his gasping last words, "I wish I would have taken the vaccine." And the very last thing he ever says is, "Take the vaccine," before he dies and goes off to whatever he goes off to next. Man, I hope my last words are, "Trust in Jesus Christ and get saved." I hope my last words in any situation would be, "Get saved, don't go to hell." If my last words were, "Don't take the vaccine," man, what a miserable way to end your life that would be. What a horrible way to end your life. Don't you want your last words to be words about Jesus Christ? Words telling people to get saved? Who is that Democrat politician from Baltimore? What was his name? I forget his name. And he was one of those people with Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. They hated Donald Trump with every fiber of their body. His name was John something. What was that guy's name? And he was dying of something, and as he lay dying in the hospital bed, the very, very last things that he ever worked on from his deathbed were things designed to take down the Trump administration. What a miserable, miserable way to die. Working for the destruction of another human being. John Lewis, I think. Was that his name? John Lewis? Because I think I wrote an article about that. Yeah, I think that's who it was. But can you imagine your very last words and all you're doing is plotting and planning to destroy another human being? What a miserable, miserable way to go on to the next life. Don't let your last words be, "Take the vaccine." Let your last words be, "Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and do it now." Those would be some really, really good last words to have. So we see that we've reached a place that has much more in common with Bible prophecy than it does with the headlines of the newspaper. Yesterday I had a visit from Sean. Him and his wife are celebrating their 30-year anniversary. Happy anniversary. And they came to the bookstore yesterday. They're down here. And he fell in love, him and his wife fell in love with St. Augustine, and they're now making plans to move down here. St. Augustine is one of those places that you come here, you'll fall in love with it, no question about it. But Sean was sharing with me yesterday at the bookstore that when him and his wife last year got sick with COVID, and God got them through, he told me that he was told by a doctor, "Don't lie down. If you have sick with COVID, stand up. Don't let all that bacteria build up in your lungs. The worst place that you can be is on your back if you have COVID." That's where all that pneumonia comes from. And his doctor told him, take vitamins. And he did. And him and his wife got through COVID pretty quick and pretty easily. But then he told me an amazing thing. He went back to their regular doctor. And every 6 weeks they did a little pinprick on their fingers and tested their antibody level. And you know what Sean told me yesterday? That every 6 weeks that him and his wife went in for their finger prick to get tested on their antibody level, that their levels actually got higher every 6 weeks, reaching nearly 100% by the time that they stopped the testing. Now, that's not what Anthony Fauci would have you to believe. Anthony Fauci, his whole thing is natural immunity is not good enough. Your natural antibodies after being exposed to COVID are not enough to protect you. And yet when Sean and his wife went to their own doctor and every 6 weeks had their blood tested for antibody levels, their levels got higher every 6 weeks. And that's what the FDA and the CDC and Anthony Fauci, they don't want you to know that. God gave you an immune system. Feed that system. Make sure that you're taking zinc and D3 and B complex and a really good multivitamin. Make sure that you're taking magnesium. Make sure you're taking vitamin C and quercetin. Make sure that you're taking an aged garlic supplement. Garlic is an amazing immune system booster. Feed your immune system. That's what God gave you. And when you feed what God gave you, you wind up in a so much better place. Every single day, just a quick little prayer, I remind God that He is my great physician and that I am trusting Him for my health. And I'm doing everything I can to stay healthy. I'm getting rest. I'm trying to eat right. This morning I had a bowl of oatmeal with sliced bananas and blueberries. I took a shot of orange juice that has a billion count probiotics, 40,000 milligrams of ginger juice, and a healthy dose of cayenne pepper. I take that every single morning in addition to eating right and trying to live right and trying to live healthy and taking all my vitamins and all my minerals. And when you do that, that's the system that God gave you and gave me to stay healthy. Feed your immune system. Don't feed yourself with fear. Don't feed yourself with panic. Open up your King James Bible. And let me close with this thought. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This was the favorite scripture of D.L. Moody. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's how you stay healthy. And it works. God will see you through every time. Please keep Pastor Pho Jong in Vietnam in your prayers. The boxes of Bibles and gospel tracts that we sent to him. Very expensive, $2,395 it cost us. And those packages are in Vietnam right now. And I want you to remember, Pastor Pho Trang, all weekend long, so that the Lord would make sure that those boxes get to him and his people. They have an underground church. Vietnam won't let them operate above ground. They have to have a secret church. And your donations, I want you to think about this. Your donations are helping to get King James Bibles into an underground church in Vietnam. And those boxes have arrived. They're there right now. So I want you to remember, Pastor Pho Trang, this weekend, that the Lord would send one of his angels and make sure that those boxes get put into the hands of Pastor Pho Trang and his people. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for another NTEB House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody. Amen.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying, and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Going.